Well, if you see this title of the sermon, Is Christmas Really Over? I'm going to have a Christmas present for you. Right now, it is almost 20 after 11. I never get up here to preach at 20 after 11. So my Christmas present to you is we will be done before 12 o'clock. Unless the Spirit starts moving and God starts showing up. Or actually, God's already showed up. But we got to listen to Him. And if we listen to Him and the Spirit starts moving, then we're going to stay here until He's done. Is that a deal? Okay. Okay. Well, if you would turn to John chapter 1, we're going to look at two verses in John chapter 1. But I'm going to ask you to stand as I read this. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13 today. So if you'd please stand as I read God's Word. And this is what it says. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank You so much for giving us the ability to become children of God, not because of anything that we have done, but because of everything that You have done. Bless the reading of Your Word and bless this time that we have together. Speak through me today. And this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. I have noticed all week long, in fact, even Christmas Day, the afternoon of Christmas Day, I started seeing posts on Facebook that people's decorations and trees had started to come down and being put back into storage. So the question I have for you is, what is left of the Christmas celebration? Many of us are looking forward to being able to take that stuff down and store it at our house. All our stuff is still up and it's still lit. Because my son Jonathan is coming home tomorrow and we're having Christmas with him when he gets here. So we are not taking anything down until after we get done celebrating Christmas with him. But I want us to look at this. What is left of the Christmas celebration? You think about that. Any good dad that has kids knows this rule. That you have a couple of trash bags in that room with you when you start to open presents on Christmas morning. So what's left? You have a bag full of trash, empty boxes, the Christmas tree and all the decorations are starting to come down, and they're being stored for another year. And then Christmas is over and our lives return to normal. In fact, this year is a unique experience for those in Cleveland County Schools. This year, they get 2 full weeks off for Christmas. That hasn't happened in a long time. Normally, they're back at school on January 2nd. This year, they don't have to go back until January 5th. So they get longer than I thought. Okay? They go back the Monday after New Year's instead of the day after New Year's. So they get a full 2 weeks off. What else are you going to do? I mean, there's only so many movies you can watch. There's only so many presents that are under the tree to unwrap. So to the world and to all those around, Christmas is over. But wait, is that all there is to Christmas? The true meaning of Christmas, John 1:14. Look at that verse. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." This Word that John is talking about here in his prologue is in fact Jesus Christ. And it says that he came full of unfailing love and we have seen the glory of God's only begotten Son. When Christ came, He came for a reason. We've talked about that for the last several weeks, about why Christ came. And God's plan was to reunite us with Him from before he even created us. He had a plan. And that plan was for Jesus Christ to come and become the perfect sacrifice. He came because of His love. We talked about that at the Christmas Eve service. We talked about that about last week, about the love that sent Christ to come here. The purpose that He came. Now I want to ask you this question. Chad asked this similar question with the children. What did you get for Christmas? What did you get for Christmas? The most important gift you received was Jesus, regardless of what was under that tree or what Santa Claus brought to your house. The most important thing was not under the tree. The most important thing was found in that manger. And that was Jesus, who was God's gift to us. To those that receive Him, He gives the right to become children of God. Look back at that the verses we started out with. Verses 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Do you guys know what that means? That means that when we receive Christ, we're different. Some would say that we're weird. Some have said that we're nuts. And you know what my response when I get called a nut? If I'm a nut, at least I'm tightened to the right bolt. He changes us. I have told this story about when I accepted Christ as my Savior. I grew up going to church. In fact, I would show up to church on Sunday morning, then I'd go off after I left church. I would go off and do all kinds of things that were not godly, that weren't churchy. But most of all, I acted like a lost person because that's what I was. Then I would leave doing that, go back to church on Sunday night, sit through church, and as soon as the preacher said amen, I was out the door going back doing all that other stuff, thinking I had everybody fooled. And for the most part, I did, except one person. And that was Jesus Himself. He knew what was really going on inside. And that moment I came, that time I came up to the altar, I couldn't take it anymore. I was shaking so bad waiting for the preacher to stop talking that my brother thought I was having a seizure. And I was sitting as far back away from everything as I could on the very back row, just like every good Baptist. And there's nothing wrong with sitting back there on the back row. Because when you sit on the back row, you get to see everything that y'all do. You get to see a lot of stuff. And that's why I was sitting back there, because I got to see everybody else and all the stuff. I got to see who talked during church. I got to see who was playing on their phone. I got to see it all back there. And that was more interesting than what's going on up here. Let's face it. Lost people act like lost people. And that's what I was. But the moment I came up here and knelt down and prayed to accept Jesus Christ, it was like a weight had been taken off my shoulders. And immediately, there was a difference in me. A difference that could be felt between me and my friends. Those guys that I used to go running around with, that I used to go get in fights with, that I used to go to chasing girls and skipping school and going to parties and all this stuff, there was immediately a difference. And they felt it and I felt it. Because my life had changed. I went back and apologized to people that I had done things with and done things to, who I had cussed out, who I had called names, who I'd gotten in fights with. I went back and apologized to them, and you should have seen their faces when they saw me coming. They were ready for a fight when they saw me coming. And then when I told them what happened and I asked them to forgive me, their facial expression changed. And it was because of what Jesus Christ did in my life. They couldn't believe it. They didn't know what to say. You know, when you're ready for a fight and somebody comes up and says, hey, I want you to ask you to forgive me because I should have never done what I was doing. And Jesus Christ has made a change in my life, and I want to apologize for what I did to you. You take the wind out of their sails, and they're just like, okay. They don't know what to say. But that gift that God sent, he made me at that point, he made me one of his children. And all of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, he has done the same thing to us. And what bigger gift can we get than being adopted into the family of God and becoming one of his children? That makes us heirs, or as the Bible says, as Paul says, joint heirs with Christ, with Jesus. That we become children of God. Jesus then becomes, not only is he our Savior and our Lord and our Master, he is also our brother. Because we've been adopted. A price has been paid for us. And it's because of Jesus' gift. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying this. Christmas is not over. For those that do not recognize Jesus or know him as their Savior, yes, it is. Christmas is a once a year holiday that, if you're lucky, lasts about a month. Or if you're with the Hallmark Channel, it starts in October, or Walmart or Target or any of the other stores, it starts in September before Halloween. But there is a finite amount of time that it lasts. And then once it's over, it's over, and all that's left to do is to take down the decorations, pack up the stuff, haul off the trash, and go back to your normal lives. That's all there is to it. But for those who receive the gift of salvation, Christmas goes on all year long. I want you to think about that. You know the joy and the happiness and the peace and the love that you feel at Christmas time with all the pretty decorations. Yes, the decorations will get put back up. The poinsettias will get stored. The Christmas tree will get taken down. All the shiny stuff, all the lights gets put into storage for another year. But that feeling, that goodwill that you have toward other people, that love that you have for other people, that peace and contentment you feel in deep inside, that does not end. It should not end. That should go on year-round because you have Christ in your heart. If you've accepted him, he has come in. He's made that change. Does that mean things are going to be all peaches and cream and warm fuzzies all the time? No. Because Jesus says, I come to bring life, and I bring not just life, but I come to give it you more abundantly. Life is full of problems. This coming year is going to be full of problems. How do I know that? Because last year was full of problems. But you know what hasn't changed? God is still on the throne, and there's not a single thing that we or Satan can do to get him off of it. He is in control, and we are his children. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So guess who's going through those problems with us? God. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Those three little Hebrew boys that, well, actually they were teenagers, that refused to bow down and worship the idol, the image of the king. And he got so mad, he told them to heat up that furnace more than it had ever been heated up, and it was so hot that the guys that stood there to throw them in burst into flames, and he threw them in there. Now, let me ask you a question. You ever thought of this? God could have kept them from being thrown in if he wanted to, didn't he? God could have put out the fire if he wanted to, couldn't he? But he chose not only to teach them a lesson about faithfulness, but to teach the king and all those who were watching a lesson as well. A lesson that they could not have learned if God would have kept them from going in the fire in the first place. So God let them get thrown in the fire. And when the king looked, one of the kings looking in there, and he says, how many guys did we throw in there again? And they said, three. And he's looking, staring in that flames, and he says, but I see four of them walking around and talking, and the fourth one looks like the Son of Man. Jesus Christ himself was in the flames with them. And can you imagine the conversation they were having in the midst of that flame? And when the king called out and he says, hey, you guys, come on out. Their bonds had been loose. You know, they were tied. Their bonds were gone. Had been burned away by the flames. But when they came out, not a hair was singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. And boy, did the king change his tune. He went from telling everybody to worship him and his image to saying that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the one true God. Would that have happened if God would have taken care of it before they went through that fire? No. So what am I telling you this? Is that this coming year, when you face that fire, when you face those troubles, people are watching you. And they're going to see if you are truly a child of God. And they're going to watch and they're going to learn a lesson, because God's wanting them to see something in your life as you go through those fires. That God is real, that God is on the throne, and that Jesus changes lives. So Christmas is not over. Christmas goes year round. And it's not by accident that the next big holiday is not Valentine's Day. I hate to break it to you. It's not Valentine's Day. The next big holiday is Easter. We celebrate the coming of Jesus at Christmas. And we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus at Easter. Because he fulfilled what he was doing, but he's not done yet. And we need to celebrate, because Christmas is not over. Even though the celebration, the parties, the food, the candy is over. The spirit that causes us to celebrate Christmas is far from dead and will continue on as long as we, as God's children, live like children of God. So as we go to this time of invitation, here is your invitation. I want you to search deep down. And if Christmas is really over for you, that it happens only once a year, and the rest of the year is just business as usual, I want you to look at your life. I want you to look deep down. I want you to determine or see if God is telling you, hey, you need to get this fixed. You need to come talk to me. You need to come become a child of God. I would love to tell you how to do that. There are people here that would love to talk to you. Because I'm going to tell you something. That change that Jesus can make in your life is better than anything that you've ever experienced in your life. Far better than anything that you found under your tree, or in your stocking, or in your driveway, or wherever. Those things will break. The excitement about those things will fade. But the change that Jesus makes lasts forever. This is your opportunity to come to know Him. Don't waste this opportunity as we sing.
Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 134, Jesus Paid It All, 134.